All right. And if you missed us, we are back. This is Believe in Rams. I'm Jake Ellenbogen. He is Cameron Lynch. In case you've been living under a rock, we've been a little busy. This is our sixth podcast episode that we're recording this week alone. Quite a busy time. For those of you who don't know, Cam and I did head on over to start another show with Believe. Off the Edge. It's an NFL-centric show, so don't feel like you have to watch it, obviously, if you're a Rams fan. I get you want your Rams content, but we have more content out there for you, and we do talk about the Rams on that show.
A lot. We do a lot. We show a lot of love to the Believe in Rams show, so we're not going anywhere. We're going to make sure that we give both love to both Believe in Rams and Off the Edge, and just know we're always teeing up this show on Off the Edge, so glad to be back.
Absolutely. Glad to be back. Glad to be talking about the LA Rams. Before we get into it, we're going to hit on this betonline.ag ad read, which is your number one source for all your basketball info, stats, news, and scores. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest player reports for this year's pro basketball playoffs. BetOnline is always your sports information headquarters this season, as we have you covered for all your sports wagering needs, whether that be basketball, MLB, NHL, right to the UFC, and boxing. BetOnline is the fastest, easiest way to get your betting info, including live betting options and your favorite casino and card games you can play right from your home. Head on over to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Be sure to use our promo code BELIEVE to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. So Cam, we start, whether it's Off the Edge or whether it is Believe in Rams, we start with the burning question. That's our staple, right? So with the burning question, the Rams made a significant move. They did get rid of Allen Robinson. They didn't get anything significant in return, but they did get rid of a significant player you and I have a lot of respect for. And so while that was a while ago, and we don't want to, you know, hound everybody about that news, that's kind of dead at this point, but this is not dead. Will the Rams take a receiver in their first three picks, 36, 69, 77, to replace Allen Robinson, or is his replacement already on the roster, Cam?
We have a lot of great receivers on the Rams roster. I do know that. One thing I do know, it is hard to replace a talent like Allen Robinson. I don't know. I think we talked about it on the Off the Edge show, but I do feel like the Steelers got the better half of that deal. Of course, we can dive into that a little bit later, Jacob.
They did.
You know, we talk about Les Snead and his ability to change and trade players, just not for much money. I told you he might have a gentleman's bet on the side. I have a feeling that Les Snead's going to come on top after this draft. So let's have faith in him. But I do know that we do need someone to step in for Allen Robinson. We need someone for the quarterback to throw the ball to and score touchdowns. And that's the name of the game, is score touchdowns. We know our running game is solid. So let's go get a receiver. We've been talking, this draft is coming up in a couple of days here. And so there's someone that I talked about on Off the Edge show about my sleeper receiver. I do like, Tank Dell out of Houston. He reminds me of Tutu Atwell, but we already have that. So I want to roll with Marvin Mims, coming out of Oklahoma with that 4.38 speed, that 48-inch vertical. I talked about it Off the Edge, but he had a crazy catch over the Texas Tech defender, like snagged over his back. So I can see him being dangerous in the red zone. So I like Marvin Mims, getting drafted by the Rams and replaced for Allen Robinson. So I'm vibing with that hot take there, Jake.
Yeah, Cam, I got to tell you, receivers become a little bit of a need, right? I think, all of us are kind of looking at it. Until Allen Robinson's off the roster, you kind of sit there and you're like, he might come back. And if he comes back, you're good, right? You got Allen Robinson, Cooper Kupp, Van Jefferson, Tutu Atwell, Ben Skowronek. You feel good. Get a late round receiver, right? Sign somebody. But no. Allen Robinson leaving does leave a void. Yeah. Van Jefferson, big play Van down the stretch, played pretty well, right? But the injury concern was there. The fact that he is in his last year of his contract, that's a concern. That's there, right? Mm-hmm. Tutu Atwell, you talk about the lack of overall frame. He is what he is. So he can definitely help you, and make no mistake about it, he's a better receiver than given credit for, but he's not 6'3" Allen Robinson that could jump over a house. So With that said, and Skowronek did show you some flash in that Raiders game that he can. But with that said, Cam, I'm with you there. I think that in those first three picks, I think the Rams, they'll probably trade out of 69 or 77 to get more picks. Because you got to have a fourth rounder in this draft. I think it's a really good value round. But I will say they could go as high as 36th overall with Jalin Hyatt if he falls in the second round at Tennessee. I could see them, you know, getting any of those kind of fall. You know, I don't know if all those guys are going to fall that we're hearing in the first round, like a JSN, I think will probably go in the first. Zay Flowers will probably go in the first. But I don't know, maybe the guy at USC, you know, Jordan Addison, who has a lot of, you know, experience playing with some big time talent. I mean, you talk about Caleb Williams and Kenny Pickett. So I don't think playing with Matthew Stafford would be anything. Whoa, because he's already played with two really good quarterbacks. A guy that's more of a slot receiver, I think, but has that deep ball, you know, tracking ability. And then I think, you know, kind of look, you know, a little bit of a tease in case you guys haven't seen off the edge. I'd throw the three guys that I mentioned at Cam. I'd throw Charlie Jones, who we're going to talk about because he's on my list of guys, you know, my guys, Charlie Jones, Jaden Reed, and I would probably say A.T. Perry. I think those three guys within that third, fourth round mix, if the Rams trade down fourth round, I think they make sense.
Yep, I like it. And I know, too, we talked about this, Jake, but edge rushers. rushers are important, making sure we get somebody on the defensive side
corners,
of the ball.
Corners are important.
Yeah, Jalen Ramsey's gone. Yeah, so there's a lot of voids in the Rams, on the Rams team in general, that we have to fill. And we talked about this before, but making sure that this draft class is getting ready to play and contribute to this team. And we want to see these guys on the roster in the future. We don't want to say, hey, are these, you know, Rams picks, are they busts like they have been sometimes in the past? So, you know, we talked about this too as well, Jake. The Rams do well in the free agency market. You know, UDFAs and whatnot, the Rams do extremely well. So let's make sure we get these right and make sure that these guys can get us a championship. We want to go to the playoffs. That's the goal. Keep this in mind. For this draft, we want to go to the playoffs first and then contend for a championship. That should be the only thing on our mind. And I do think that these guys can get it done. Those receivers we just named. And I do think we do need an edge rusher to get the football back so these guys can score. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm super excited, Jake.
And Cam, I know it's probably disrespectful, but the NFC is dog water right now. This is the opportunity, okay? This is the Rams' opportunity. Even in a season where it's like $74.5 million that are being paid to guys that aren't on the roster, not getting, you know, much of anything for Jalen Ramsey, Leonard Floyd, Bobby Wagner, Allen Robinson, all that. Even with everybody leaving and not a lot coming in, there's still not a lot of competition in the NFC. It does not look very good on paper. You look at the AFC, okay, I don't want to be in the AFC. I mean, you got three potential Super Bowl contenders in the Bills, the Jets, and the Dolphins. I mean, if you're really, and then you never have to, you can never discount Chiefs, the Patriots, you know, the Chiefs, Bengals. Yeah, it's just nonstop.
It's stacked, yeah.
It's an opportunity, but you know what else is an opportunity? These 12 guys on each of our sides for the Rams. And so in this, this episode is going to be a heavy draft episode. And for before you switch that dial, because I can see it, you're thinking about it. Hear me out. You right there. Yeah. I'm talking to you. Hear me out. There's going to be the NFL draft, whether you like it or not. It's going to happen the 27th, 28th and 29th. And I will be live, but that's not the point. The point is, Cam, as you know, the Rams are going to pick 11 times or more or less, but they're going to pick in this draft, and they're going to pick more than just once per round. So here's the thing. Instead of kicking it down the curb, instead of not really adding anything to it, listen a little bit, enjoy, learn a little bit about the draft. If you're not interested, don't turn that dial. We're still talking about the Rams because the 12 guys that I'm going to bring up, guys for each position, and Cam's going to bring up, that's 24 guys that you're hearing. They're all guys that should be available when the Rams pick at 36, when the Rams pick at 36.
These are our guys. These are our guys.
Our guys. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm going to let you kick it off, Cam. And I'm going to preface this by saying not every guy that we pick is going to be a second, is going to be a third, is going to be a fourth. Like, we don't have specific. It's just our guys that are available for the Rams. We're not talking about guys that won't be there. We're talking about realistic guys at any point in the draft for the Rams. Okay, there you go.
I like it. So, yes, thank you, Jake, for our guys session in this episode at the quarterback position, someone who is down the street from SoFi Stadium, playing at UCLA over by Beverly Hills, someone out of UCLA, Dorian Thompson Robinson, DTR, as Jake says it. I like him as a sleeper quarterback. I know, Jake, for you, you can see him going to the late rounds. I'm a developmental guy. I like DTR, right? He broke UCLA's record in having 12,000 total purpose yards. So I do believe he's going to be able to step in if something happens to Matthew Stafford and get some yards, right? Score some points and be productive. You know, last year what we saw when it came to the backup quarterbacks, they weren't really able to step in and win football games like we wanted them to. And I do think DTR, he will be able to step in and get that done from a football side, right? You ran a 4.5, had a 40-inch vert coming from Bishop Gorman in Vegas, powerhouse high school. And so he's going from prestigious institution So from there to UCLA and then hopefully to the Rams. And if you look at it from a business side, Jake, he's going to be prepared. He's going to be able to understand, hey, I'm in Los Angeles. I know there's a lot that comes with it. And he's going to know how to navigate that just playing at UCLA. UCLA, as you know, Jake, all the athletes go there and train in the offseason. Your Odells, your Tom Brady's, your Gronks. And so he's lived that life. And so he's going to be able to transition, I think, really nicely at the next level in playing the quarterback position. So I do like DTR. He's able to protect the football. And he ranks 6th in the FBS in completion percentage. So, like I said, he's going to get your Cooper Kupp the football. He's going to get your receivers that you want, you know, Tutu and those guys, Van Jefferson, that football, so we can make positive plays and get the ball in the end zone because we know we have Cam Akers in the backfield. So I'm liking DTR, my guy, Jake. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's interesting. He got better each year. You know, he's a late round guy. I think at the end of the day with DTR, because I don't want to get too much into it because we got so much to cover. He's a high character guy that if you're going to draft a late round quarterback to be your backup because you only have Stafford on the roster, I wouldn't be adamantly against it. I have other quarterbacks I prefer as more potential developmental franchise. But when you talk about a guy that has, you know, I think a higher floor than some of these guys. He's been in college. He's gotten better each year. He's intelligent. He's a leader. I think it makes sense.
Yep, I like it. I mean, the UCLA fans, they can just go right over to the SoFi Stadium, and I think that's more butts in the seats. And that's what we talked about before,
which,
right,
Jake?
We're going to need that. With a lot of players leaving, we're going to need that. And so I think UCLA having someone in-house from UCLA, I think that's going to help out a lot on the business side. So, Jake, I know you got a quarterback as well. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think people are tired of hearing me talk about this guy, but Jaren Hall out of BYU, oh my God, it sounds like deja vu. I could literally hear myself recording that repeatedly. Dynamic dual threat quarterback, prefers to throw it more than run it, which I absolutely love. His athleticism is very dangerous on the ground. You know, his biggest thing is that he goes through half field progressions and not full field reads, which tells me that he's not ready for the day one starter moniker, but he's somebody that can develop into a legit starter. His ball placement's great. You look at his pocket presence. You know, I think he's a little too patient, and that's not something you normally talk about when, you know, with a young quarterback. Normally it's they're too erratic. They want to run away. He's got some actual discipline in the pocket, which I really like. I think he has a chance. His floor feels higher than most quarterbacks in this draft. And, you know, when I look at, you know, the back shoulder fade that he can hit, whether it's near the sideline or in the end zone or what have you, and just the fact his arm is good enough for the NFL and his ability to make quick decisions, I see a guy that can be a real franchise quarterback if developed properly. And I hate to break it to you, NFL, but if he goes to Sean McVay, I think he could end up being a franchise quarterback and he might be your problem.
Uh-oh, there you go. Hot take with Jaren Hall. I like your guy, Jaren Hall. I like Jaren, right? I think I mentioned to you before, but having that C on his jersey, Jake, that's the number one thing I look for. If I see that C on your jersey, then that you just go up a level for me because you take care of yourself, you take care of your business on and off the field. So
if you're a quarterback and you don't have the C on your jersey, that's when, you know, those conversations have to start happening.
Exactly. You're looking at him sideways like, hey, man, if you're the one touching the ball every play, you're not leading your team in certain ways. I got a few questions about it. So I like that about Jaren Hall. Yeah, just a little bit. And also, too, just to comfort me, he reminds me of the Russell Wilson, the way he escapes the pocket, the way he runs the ball, just the way he just positions his body as he runs. He wears that number three. So I like Jaren Hall as well. Going to my running back here. Jake, folks know on the Bleeding Rams podcast, I'm a Syracuse guy, so I'm rolling with my guy, Sean Tucker. Sean Tucker, I know we got Cam Akers in the backfield. I know we got some guys that can run the football, but Sean Tucker can give you that home run ability. You know, just watching some of the Syracuse games, Sean Tucker, when you cut the tape on him, the folks in the Loud House are going nuts because he's probably breaking a run for about 50-something yards. I know in high school he won the 55-meter. He's a state winner twice in a row, and he shows that speed a lot of time on tape. When it comes to the passing game, sometimes he can drop the ball a little bit, but he can catch it, and he can be effective in the screen game as well. So I like a Sean Tucker. He's only 5'9", but he's built like a bowling ball, Jake, and I think he can be a great 1-2 punch just for Kyron Williams, for Cam Akers, and just have someone else in that backfield that can really give the Rams something to work with here, because like we said, we're going to have to protect our quarterback. So we're going to be able to run the ball effectively, then to be able to throw it. So I like Sean Tucker as our guy here at the Rams. What are you thinking on your running back side there, Jake?
Yeah, you know, I like that, Cam. You know, obviously I have other guys that I prefer. These are our guys, of course. But I think with Sean Tucker, he actually makes a lot of sense for the Rams because I think they need to diversify. We talk about this a lot, diversify the running back room, because like you said, you need a home run threat. And I think Cam Akers is the closest one to giving you that. Kyron Williams doesn't give you that. He's quicker than fast. So I think, you know, when you have a guy that has legit 4.4 speed, and Cam ran a 4.4, but his tape screams 4.52 in my opinion. But when you look at, you know, a guy like Sean Tucker, and if he gets better at, you know, having a snap to snap consistency and, you know, just being able to hold on to the football, because, you know, in, you know, pass catching situations, he has some concentration drops. If he gets that down, he could be a real threat, especially in that Sean McVay offense. So I like it. Probably a mid round guy, I would say at this point, you know, maybe third, fourth, fifth around that. No idea. Teams value these guys all over the board, Cam. So it's one of the drafts where I think we have no idea where these guys are going to go. But yeah, my guy, we call him Izzy Abanikanda, Israel Abanikanda from Pittsburgh. Home run hitter, Cam. His tape was a joy to watch. He runs right through arm tackles like they are literally nothing. He fumbled 3 times in his career, period. Only 3 times in his career. That's a good thing. There are guys that are literally going to get drafted ahead of him that fumbled 3 times this year, Cam. So he fumbled 3 times in his career. He's got burst. I think it's the top level of the class. When you look at, you know, burst, we talk about the first 5 yards of the run. He's not a polished route runner. That's when we start picking apart a game. You don't need to pick apart the game, man. He's got soft hands. He doesn't need to have an extensive route tree. He's a running back. You know, he could definitely help you in the screen game, though, and the Rams use a lot of that. You know, as far as the vision, he has exactly what you look for in a starter. Very few treads on his tires. He didn't even have 400 carries in college. You go back to Bishop Sankey, if you remember him, out of Washington. Everyone's like, what happened to him? He went to the Titans. He didn't do anything. Well, poor Bishop Sankey ran the ball 600 times. By the time he got to the NFL, he was toast. So you don't have to worry about that when it comes to Abanikanda. He has the mental makeup as well as the physical makeup of a starting NFL running back. And when I look at Abanikanda, if they can work on his route running ability, we could be talking about a legit feature back and one of the best in the league.
Izzy. And I love Izzy. To see it, right? When you turn on tape with guys like Izzy, to see them break away, it's like, dang, these guys have true speed. And so to see that Izzy, just his background, Jake, just his background, to see that he was the 100-meter gold medalist winner, right, in New York. I know while he was in New York as well, you know, he was the Gatorade Player of the Year there. So he has true speed, like you said, that home run speed. And I also found the fact here, too, that he ran for 100 yards in 9 out of 11 games and only fumbled, like you said, 3 times out of the whole year. So that tells me home run speed. That means each game he's looking to get 100 piece. Like for me, when I play linebacker, I was like, okay, I want to make sure I get 10 to 15 tackles each game, and I'll be happy there. It seemed like he hit a lot of his goals throughout the year. So shout out to Izzy. Would love to see that home run speed here at the Rams. For me next, Jake, wide receiver. I think I talked about it already. When we talked about Allen Robinson leaving, who's going to step in place for that? And Marvin Mims is my guy from out of Oklahoma. Like I said, run a 4.38, 40-inch jump. Hey, red zone, throw it up. That's what I say. Have Cooper Kupp get you down there. Have Cam Akers get you down there and Tyler Higbee. But once you get to the end zone, let's find Marvin Mims, throw that ball up in the end zone. And what you call Allen Robinson, above the rim, basketball player or football player, Marvin Mims, you can find him above the rim as well, maybe above the backboard there. I mean, my guy's dangerous. So I like Marvin Mims as my receiver here. Jake, what are your thoughts?
He's so dangerous when he's coming down from his jump. You have to worry about him breaking his legs because he's up there, man. You know, those crazy verticals that you see. No, I like it. You know, I think a guy that has, you know, competitive toughness playing the Big 12. Obviously, offense is everything in the Big 12. So even though we got some really good defensive prospects, but I got to say, I think Marvin Mims is a fun watch. I enjoyed watching his film. But this guy right now, okay, I've been asked if I like this guy. I can finally say I do because I finally watched tape. I'm not somebody where, you know, I have the live streams cam and people are like, hey, you like this player? And I've seen it before, not saying any names, but people be like, yeah, yeah. And then they don't have any idea. They've never watched the player. They're just trying to, that's not me. I got to watch the guy before I sign off on anything. Charlie Jones out of Purdue was the best wide receiver in the country, bar none. No one can tell me otherwise. All right. I'm sticking by that. You know, when you look at him, 110 receptions, led the FBS this year, 12 touchdowns, 1,300 yards. And the biggest question mark that people have is, well, he didn't do that a lot. He only did it once. I don't really care. I mean, I think like, you know, whatever, you're justified in saying that, fine, but I think Charlie Jones is an absolute stud. You know, he ran a 4.4, has the explosiveness to, you know, win off the line of scrimmage, foot quickness, all that you look for, precise route runner. You know, he's going to give his all every rep. You know, I think, you know, he can make, you know, shake defenders. He can win after the catch. He has the ability to track the deep ball. You know, I think when you look at his return ability, we talk about this all the time, adding value to what you bring as a prospect day one. If he doesn't make it as a receiver for whatever reason on the Rams, he can help you in the return game. And I think that's a big thing now with Brandon Powell out the door. You don't know who's going to return, kicks and punts. And so I think he can help you there. His vision when he gets the ball in his hands is very good. You know, you're talking Cooper Kupp-esque. Like when he has the ball in his hands, he's like a running back, if you will. He can find the soft spot in the zone and sit in it. He can take on the big hit, hang on to the football. That's a big thing. Kind of has a little Julian Edelman to his game in that regard, where you get hammered over the middle and you still hang on to the football. Always respect that about his game. Hard-nosed player, vice grip hands, great ball skills, despite the fact that he's a little bit on the slender side, not the biggest. And we're not calling him slender man. There are other guys that are, you know, way slender than that, but little on the short side. There's questions about his long-term production. Did he just have the best fit possible? Like I said, I don't care. You know, it took him three schools to find the school, but he did. And when he did, he succeeded and he got his shot. He's a willing blocker. He's not going to impact block or anything, like he's some mauler, right? But he's a willing blocker at 5'11", 177. So you like to see that. He can play on the outside. He can play on the inside. Overall, Cam, I think this is one of those Cooper Kupp, Jarvis Landry, Hunter Renfro, Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, those type of guys that you just want on your football team. Because at the end of the day, I'm not betting against this guy, Cam. And I'll say right now, I think he's just going to work at the next level. You draft him and you just figure out a way to let him be.
Yep. Charlie Jones, you mentioned that you want him on your football team. That's exactly what I wrote down in my notes, as I want this guy on my football team. He reminded me of a Justin Watson. I think we mentioned it before, just his gameplay. He's reliable, Jake. He's reliable. If you need a first down, you need someone to go catch that football, he's going to do it. If you need him to go play special teams, to go return a punt and give you great field advantage, he's going to do that as well. So Charlie Jones, he's high in my book as well. And you mentioned it, bringing value to a team. That's extremely important for the Rams fans out there. The folks on this list that we're mentioning, they have to be able to play special teams, right? Because if there's someone else that comes in for their place, what are they going to do? What value will they bring to the team? And Charlie Jones, he can bring value to this team in any way possible. So I like him as well, Jake. That's a great pick there. And I know we're moving to tight end now. So, like I said, I'm going to a crafty guy here coming from South Dakota State. He's 245, 4'6", he ran a 4.6 40. and his team trusts him, Jake. So it's Tucker Kraft, like I said, out of South Dakota State. The way they use them, I would like to say, as similar to how South Dakota used them, is similar to how the Chiefs use your Travis Kelce, where it's the shovel passes, it's the little screen game right by the line of scrimmage and some of the trick plays. Kraft can go in as a wildcat quarterback and play under center too. So I love to see that out of him as well. His team wants to get him the ball. The Rams need to figure out how to continue getting not only Tyler Higbee the ball, but a guy like Kraft the football as well, and diversify our offensive game there. So, like I said, he's more so looking to catch the football rather than block. But of course, we can put him in there to do that as well. But Tucker Kraft is my guy coming out of South Dakota State, and yeah, I think he would be a great addition and help out Tyler Higbee in the pass game and the blocking game as well.
Yeah, he's the guy I've seen a lot of mock drafts have him going to the Rams, whether it's the 36th pick, which seems a little early, but you know, I could see probably 69, 77th in that area. Mm-hmm. I think the Rams, make no mistake about it, with Tyler Higbee and Bryson Hopkins set to hit free agency after the season. And let's be honest, we don't know what Hunter Long is. You can keep saying he's a third round pick all you want. That was 2021. Okay, a lot has happened since then. So I think it makes sense to go out and get a tight end. I don't know how early they'll do it, but this guy makes sense. And I compared him, as you know, on off the edge, I compared him to Dallas Goedert. Same, not scouting the helmet, Cam, not scouting the helmet. I know they went to the same school, but they're like very similar as far as play style. And that's not a surprise, because a lot of these schools will, you know, go after and recruit kind of the same type. If they have an archetype, kind of like how we talk about with the Rams, they have an archetype, right? Schools have an archetype. I mean, Colorado likes those longer 6'3" corners. They just do. Everyone knows it. Yeah, and then just look at who they're recruiting. So, yeah, that's where that comes from. Tight end. Okay, I have, and people are going to be so stunned because I was a big fan of George Kittle. I was a big fan of T.J. Hockenson. I think you know where I'm going with this. Sam Laporta out of Iowa. You know, shoot me. I actually like another Iowa tight end. Oh my God, it's such a bad thing. Look, they're built different. You know, guaranteed starting tight end at the next level. No doubt about it. Not have to worry. It's a tough position to play, but if he starts day one, I would not mind it. I think he can handle it. He's incredibly smooth as an athlete, has great body control as a receiving tight end. He is a good route runner. He creates great separation. You know, his ability to adjust to throws outside of his catch radius is something that I really enjoyed on tape. He doesn't have the length that you look for, and that's going to sting, but like, he can overcome it. That shouldn't be like a make or break thing. He has the speed to be a real deep threat. He ran a 4.5. He's freaky. Has the speed to be a real deep threat, but also, you know, I think he can be flexed out wide. I think he can work in line. I think he could be a big slot, you know, guy. So a lot of, you know, positional versatility there. You talk about the ball skills, has the ability to play above the rim, like we keep talking about, above the rim, Cam, boxing out defenders like you're a power forward or center. He can do that. You know, natural hands catcher you're talking about. You know, he can make plays after the catch, and I believe when I watch the tape, he puts himself in the best possible position for not only he to succeed, but the quarterback, because you're not just helping yourself out and your team out, you're also helping the quarterback get some numbers when you're putting yourself in the best position to move upfield right after the catch. So he does a great job of that, using great ankle flexion and just positioning himself the right way with just his technique. He's a high character guy. Captain Cam's going to love this. He's a team captain. You know, competitive toughness. You got to have that as a tight end. If you're not tough, I don't want you. Sorry, I don't mean to be that blunt, but I am going to be that blunt. An assignment blocker, okay? I want to point this out. He's not an impact guy, okay? I've seen people compare him to George Kittle. That's not fair. George Kittle is one of the most can't-miss tight ends I've ever watched. I don't know how he went in the fifth round, but all 32 teams messed up, and the 49ers do not deserve credit because they got him in the fifth round. You just got lucky. But when you look at George Kittle, he would block you into the ground and then literally try to push you like 6 feet under. That was George Kittle. That was his mindset. We hadn't seen anybody like that. Like, he was the definition of the blind side with Michael Oher in the movie, right? That's not him. So Sam Laporta is an assignment blocker. He seals off the edge, things like that. You know, he's got a good angle. He frames it well. You know, he can move. He's nimble. But he's not a guy that's going to bury your guy. So if you're going to hold that against him, just know that's not who he is, and that's okay. To me, Cam, before I send it over to you, he's one of the best tight ends in the draft. And I, while he does remind me of Kittle, the blocking isn't there like Kittle, but I think he's got pieces of Kittle, Hockenson, and Noah Fant to his game. And if that's cliche, he's his own guy. And at the end of the day, Cam, I don't know if you knew this, but he's the only Iowa tight end in their program history to lead the team in receptions and receiving yards back-to-back seasons. Put this guy on my damn roster right now.
There you go. There you go. And he runs a 4.5. Like, that's a matchup nightmare, Jake. That's a matchup nightmare. I can just imagine myself, you know, going against him one-on-one. Same thing I did with Higbee, and just, you know, sometimes getting toasted or sometimes just getting the worst of the opportunity there. So I like that for Sam Laporta, the fact that he led his team in receiving yards and whatnot both years back-to-back. Sign him up. Let's go. The Rams need that, right? And I think that's one thing for Matthew Stafford that he's going to have, right, is someone, other people to throw the ball to, right? Higbee, of course, you know, you throw the ball to him, but why not have a Sam Laporta on the other side that can bring that extra piece of the game as well? And if we're thinking about the Rams do decide to go with the receiver or not, it's okay. You got two receiving tight ends that can make it happen. And if they need a block, they'll make that happen as well. So love that there, Jake, for us. Continue with our guys, going to the offensive line, the big boys here. Another person, right? We talked about the running back game and how I picked my Sean Tucker, Cuse guy. I got another one in here, Jake. And this guy went to the Senior Bowl and absolutely crushed it. He did a great job, hailing in at 6'5 and 322 pounds. Matthew Bergeron. Okay, and so with this guy, one of his critiques was, or not critiques, one of the things he does really well is he holds his own against mammoth-sized defensive linemen. Now, Jake, you'll see it sometime when you watch the football game, it's like, dang, that dude is huge, right? Like, who the heck's going to block him? And so Matthew does a great job of stopping those big behemoths. So I want him on my team. I want guys like him that can protect Matthew Stafford. He played right tackle for most of his career, then moved to left tackle towards the end of his career and still racked up some ACC nominations through that. So that shows that he can play both sides. And one thing I do know, Jake, about the offensive tackle position is you can work your way outside and then now inside. And so a lot of times teams are seeing him as an offensive guard as well. And so when you can play guard, you can also play center. So you can use him pretty much anywhere on the offensive line is what I'm getting to. And we need that, Jake. We talked about the health of our offensive line, and this might be the most important conversation that we have today so far is this offensive line and who's going to fill those shoes. And so with Matt being a right tackle, a left tackle, and also looking to play guard, I love him as well here playing with us. One thing I do know is that he is quick. He's quick with his pass set, and he gets his feet in the ground, and he's able to use his hands to strike the defenders. And like I said, when you have those big boys coming at you, having quick feet and getting set is going to be important. And then also with those 4-2 or future 4-2 pass rushers at defensive end, having him there to kick slide is going to be important. And one downside, though, is he does give up some things on the bull rush sometimes and gives a lot of ground. So Matthew Stafford's going to have to get that ball of his hands quick or maybe get some running back chip protection there. But I got Matthew as my guy on the offensive line.
Yeah, so in my notes here, I just have, and I didn't get a chance to watch a ton of him, right? But one thing that stood out to me, smooth operator, smooth. Mm-hmm. You know, just a smooth guy. You know, you talk about the experience and the fact that I think he could play tackle. You know, he could play 4 out of 5 spots. I don't want him at center, but I mean, he could literally play 4 out of 5 spots on the offensive line. That's a Rams fit. My only thing about him is that he is second round or nothing. So you're either going to draft him in the second round or he's not going to be there for your other two picks. On day two, like I think his stock is starting to fly up, and I think, you know, people are going to fall in love with the movement skills and just the range he has. And like you said, the kick slide and all of that. So, you know, I think he fits, you know, as far as their zone run scheme, I think he fits that. But, you know, we'll see what ends up happening. And, you know, I definitely like him. I think he's a day two talent based on what I've seen. And now with my guy, I was not expecting this to be my guy. As Cam will probably know, I had a different guy written down. Okay. And I ended up catching wind of this guy. And, like, you know, one of my friends is like, hey, you got to watch him. I was like, all right. I turn on the tape for Georgia. And Warren freaking McClendon, man, he's not getting enough love in this process, and I don't know why. He's a three-year starter at Georgia playing right tackle. So, you know, he's keeping your Stetson Bennett upright in winning two national titles. Cam, you're going to like this thing. This is not Captain Cam moment. This is just holy hell moment. Did not allow a sack in 2021 or 2022, playing the right side. In the SEC, in big title games, we're talking legit SEC title. We're talking college football semis. We're talking about college football championships. And I said championships because they won two. So here's the thing, okay? When you look at his quickness off the snap, that's something that stands out to me. He's got this nasty ass punch, you know, that just neutralizes pass rushers. And I know you're a defensive guy and you're like, oh, you're probably cringing right now. But hear me out. I mean, like, you look at Isaiah Land out of, I think it's Florida A&M, the pass rusher. I watched Land get absolutely just wrecked at the Senior Bowl. I mean, when he, you do not want McClendon to punch you. You're going down, like, hard. So, you know, I think he showcased this in the Senior Bowl workouts as well as on tape, which is great because it shows me that he didn't just learn how to do this for the Senior Bowl, look cool. He can do it on tape too. And I watched both of them. He's quick. He reads. He reacts. He's got the good kick slide you look for. His footwork gets a little wonky. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. Gets a little wonky. He's got inconsistent anchor, which he's got to get better at, but that's something, okay, NFL coaching can fix that. You know, he makes quick adjustments to late rushers, and what I mean by this is when you have your stunts or you have a delayed blitz, he's going to be able to see that, and that's something that's big as a rookie coming in the NFL. You're going to deal with a lot of different, you know, nuanced pass rushing. If you go up against the Vikings, I can tell you right now, our guy Brian Flores is going to be doing a lot of that. Like, they're going to be a problem when you face them because he's going to do all sorts of crazy stuff like that. They have the athleticism, so you have to have guys that are prepared for that, and so I think that's one thing there. He works well in the run game. You know, this is somebody that wants to go, you know, get to the second level, combo block. He may not be the best at the second level, but he's really good. I think he's flying under the radar, Cam. He's not the nasty mauler that you look for as a tackler if you're looking for a mauler, but he's got a mean streak to him. Good enough mean streak. I'm not too picky. And I think he's way better than giving credit for.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, Warren McClendon, you mentioned allowed zero sacks in the past 2 years. You can stop there. I mean, that's a full stop. And then on top of that, you know, winning two national championships, he's bringing something to the table that not many people can do. You know, when you talk about offensive lineman, you talk about old lineman protecting your quarterback, this guy does it. I mean, he checks the box.
Absolutely.
We want to make sure Matthew Stafford is staying healthy. You know, his wife, you know, when she goes on her podcast, she wants her husband to come back home and not have a concussion or any spinal issues. A guy like this is going to make her happy as well. So we always talk about Jake, a happy wife, happy life. And so, you know, understanding that Warren doesn't allow any sacks, sign him up. One thing about him too, as well, you mentioned just the fact that he can also, he's quick, but it sounds like he can play multiple positions as well. So he can shift from one side to the next, maybe center. What does that look like? We don't know. But one thing I do know is the Rams are going to need guys to step in and play at every position that they can when they can. So I like it, Jake, having a guy like him on our team, having a champion, a two-time champion in the SEC on our team, that's going to raise the bar. That's going to raise the bar. Guys going to look at him and be like, hey, he won championships. Let's get us one too.
And just real quick to throw this in here, because this is important. He's not necessarily, you're going to have to give up a second, a third. I think he's flying under the radar enough where the Rams can be like, oh, we have three picks in the fifth round. Grab him. Yep. Now you address the offensive line. The fans are somewhat off your back. I mean, they're going to be a little annoyed you didn't pick one in the second round, but I think this is realistic. I mean, I think when, you know, he might be my guy, but I also think it's realistic to expect if they look at tackles, they're probably going to look in the later rounds. And if they do go big, you know, and they get one in the second, could be your guy Bergeron.
There you go. And just going back, the Rams need an offensive line. We need guys on the offensive line to step in. We need wide receivers. We need an edge. We need a corner. Like, that's it.
We need everything.
We need it all. And that's how we're going through it right now. That's how we're going through right now to chat through, you know, who we think can be a great fit for the Rams. And, you know, just continuing with the offensive line piece here, we got a guy that can move, Jake. We got a guy you mentioned on your last pick that can pick up late blitzes and can be very adaptable. We got a guy who's very athletic and who can mirror some of these speedy, you know, blitzers, whether it be a safety or a corner. And I have Braden Daniels out of Utah. You know, he's 6'4", 294. He's a little bit lighter than most folks, but he's quicker. He ran a 4.99 at the combine. Come on, fam.
I feel like, and I mean, obviously it's somewhat of a graphic movie if you haven't seen it, but like Patrick Bateman in American Psycho, where he's like, you know, right. It's like, I'm like, all right, I feel that. Yeah, no, I really like Braden Daniels, but you know, you go on.
yeah, no, he's the man, right? Like guy said, he ran a 4.99 at the draft. Like, I mean, at the combine, you can't beat that. That's an eye popper. So I want a guy that can either do that, and you can see him pulling for Cam Akers. So imagine Cam Akers lying on the left side of the quarterback, you know, Braden being on the left side as well, and you have a pulling play where, you know, Cam gives you that left stutter and goes to the right, and you see Braden coming around at 4.99 speed, knocking out the defensive end, then climbing up to the second level, knocking out a linebacker, and then shoot, maybe get a defensive back as well. So we want a guy like that who can play out in space, and that's one thing he does really well is engaging blockers in space. We want a guy who can mirror some of your speedier pass rushers, mirror some of those linebackers who are trying to shake them in the run game or in the toss game as well. So I like it. It's a little dangerous when you got a guy that can run that fast and that heavy. One thing that reminds me of, Jake, is just playing against Florida State when they won the national championship, right? When their offensive line, those guys were beasts. I mean, seeing those guys run out in space and pull and just open up full stride, it's like, why is this semi-truck running down the football field like they're doing? And I think Braden Daniels can bring that semi-truck mentality down, you know, when it comes to the running game for the Rams. So I like him a lot. I think he'll keep, you know, Matthew Stafford healthy and keep him safe. And that's the biggest thing. We want to make sure our guys are safe. He had all Pac-12 honors. So, you know, he's highly, highly recognized in the Pac-12. And I would love him to take those talents over to the Rams and make sure, like I said, Matthew Stafford is protected and safe.
Yeah, and he can play 4 out of the 5 positions. Once again, you know, versatility is a big thing with the Rams and who they go after. And while they don't entirely prioritize athleticism, I don't think they like scoff at it, you know. you know, so my buddy Blaine Grisak from Turf Show Times, he did a thing called Sneed Snacks. It's like this you know, this series where, you know, he kind of tries to target Rams archetypes and who would be Braden Daniels on the list for interior offensive line. So I gotta give a shout out to my guy Blaine, but also gotta give a shout out to, you know, Braden Daniels, because I think, you know, I actually had him as a tackle. I might have to go back to the drawing board and be like, you know, I'm gonna put him at guard. I don't know, but I like him a lot. I like your pick. A guy that I took from tackle and moved to guard, and for those of you who have known me for a while, that's kind of sacrilege to what I've been doing. I've never been a fan of moving a tackle to guard, but I'm getting a little bit like understanding of it now. Like I'm more, you know, accepting. Cody Mauch out of North Dakota State. Here comes the North Dakota State praise, because you and I have all been right on a tangent right now with the North Dakota State praise. Cody Mauch, first off, had the pleasure of interviewing him on Downtown Rams. He is such a good dude. He is so nice.
Did he have his teeth? Did he have teeth in when you interviewed him, Jake?
He had teeth. I mean, okay, you know, he's missing some, you know, it happens. He's got like hockey face or whatever they call it. Puck head, you know, like whatever it is. But
I love it.
But yeah, no, like Cody Mauch is awesome. I mean, he's exactly, when you talk about football player, you think of a guy like that. 3-year star at North Dakota State, played left tackle in a run heavy scheme. So right off the bat for the Rams, I'm thinking this guy can help out Cam Akers. You know, this guy can help out the run game in a big way. But he's very athletic, you know, has the foot speed for the position, whether it's guard, whether that's tackle. You know, I think he's got great balance, and something that I noticed, you know, with some of the other guys that, you know, I think Rams fans have really put their arms around, like a John Michael Schmitz, for instance. I think the problem with some of those guys is that they kind of fall. You know, it's the balance isn't there where I want it to be. I don't want to see an offensive lineman falling like a beached whale. You know what I mean? No. I don't want to see that. I want to see you staying upright and, you know, acting like a man, right? And that's what I see from Cody Mauch. Dude acts like a man. He was a team captain. Captain Camel loved that. You know, he can play guard, tackle. He's got a nastiness in his game. Kind of reminds me low-key of Trevor Penning. I believe it was last year's draft. Hardworking guy. Again, the shorter arms thing. I mean, if you want to nitpick, sure, it'll make his life difficult. Okay? His life will be a little bit more difficult. It's already difficult. He's a football player, right? Yeah. But, hey, he can be a problem in the run game for defenses. And I think the experience is going to help him in that run heavy scheme. But he can get to the second level. He can be a pulling blocker, you know, kind of like you were talking about with Braden, and he can combo block. And I think a guy that absolutely loves blocking, when you watch his tape, he just loves what he's doing and he's that good. That's a guy I want on my football team. And I knew that before I interviewed him. So I think the interview, there's no bias. Like I thought this when I saw the tape, I was like, holy hell, I want that guy on my football team.
Yeah. I mean, the guy he is, it seemed like he has great character too. The first picture you pull up of him, I mean, his two front teeth are missing. So yeah. It's like, if people see that, I mean, I know guys wear mouthpieces, but when guys see that on the other team, they're like, oh, this guy may have some screws loose and I might have to watch out because he might maul my ass. So, you know, guys like Cody, I would love him on my team as well. I see the comparison here is Alex Kappa. I play with Alex as well. Alex had to play center, guard, tackle. He had to play all of them. And so I can see him doing some of the same things. And Jacob says, too, that he was a walk-on at North Dakota State. So
put on 80 pounds.
Come on, like, now. He's willing to do anything for the team. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. A walk-on, put on 80 pounds. Yeah, if you look at his transformation, like when he first got there, his picture to like now, it's not the same dude.
Not the same dude. He's a walk-on, and now he's first-team All-American. Like, come on. It's just like you said, the jump. That's kind of insane to see and to know that he's going to, you know, put on 40 pounds for the team to make sure that he's, you know, his teeth aren't replaced so he can scare the other team. Like, come on. The guy is bought in. So I would want a guy like this on my team as well. You know, we talk about some of the issues when it comes to offensive linemen, though, just their slide kicks, and sometimes they click their heels. You know, I played on the punt team, Jake, and we have to pass protect. That stuff is hard, bro. Like, really kick sliding to defend someone that's blitzing off the edge to block a punt, or a defensive lineman that's coming to try to block a punt when you're only 230-something pounds. Like, that's tough to do. So I understand that's always an issue with offensive linemen. But I would want somebody like Cody on my team as well. He ran a 5'8", 40? Like, that's not too bad for O-lineman, Jake. So someone like that with no teeth, I'm sure he's going to scare a lot of people away. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the Rams do with him as well. Okay, so we've hit the guards. Now moving on to centers, Jake. I know we've talked about this a bit when we talk about offensive linemen here on the Believe in Rams podcast. Someone who played against Syracuse in the bowl game but decided to sit out. So he didn't essentially play against Syracuse, but he sat out for that bowl game, and that's John Schmitz out of Minnesota. I like him as well. I know he has a mean streak on him. I know he's a tenacity of finished blocks. He can support in the pass game as well. A great anchor and can stop the bull rush. So I like him as well. He did a great job at the Senior Bowl. You know, he elevated his stock there, I believe. You know, you'll see there at the Senior Bowl with one-on-ones. I mean, you know, he's getting bull rushed by defensive linemen, and he's you know, sticking his ground there. So I want to see a center like that who can protect Matthew Stafford. And also, too, he's super smart, so he can help with some of the play calling and the offense and take some of that stress off your quarterback. So we talk about the Rams and their, you know, rebuilding that offensive line and what that looks like. You know, getting a leader like John, who's 6'3", 301 pounds, to step in and protect your Matthew Staffords, I like it. And so, you know, like I said, this conversation between these offensive linemen are probably the most important conversations we're going to have, because that's going to determine the success of this Rams team. When Matthew Stafford stays healthy because he has a clean pocket, when Cam Akers can run the ball because they have some run lanes, guys like this coming to play. And, you know, we can't overlook this. So folks that are tuning in, pay attention here, because if we get a guy like this, John Smith, on our team, you know, or Braden Daniels or Matt or you know, the gentleman that you spoke of earlier, we're going to win some football games. So I like John as a center spot for me, Jake.
Yeah, so John, they call him JMS, John Michael Schmitz. I liked him. I thought I was going to like him a little bit more, and I think the balance, I didn't mean to steal your thunder when I said beforehand the balance piece, but yeah, man, I think he's a good player. I think, you know, it's really hard to determine because I just, like we talked about, I cannot put a finger on where the NFL values these centers. Are centers valuable in this league? Yes. But are they valuable in the sense of being valuable? Like, are they worth a first? Are they worth a second? Like, that I don't know. You know, I mean, even Bradley Bozeman didn't make as much money as I thought he was going to make. So right now, I mean, he might be able to be had in the third round. And I think a lot of Rams fans just got wide-eyed when I said that, because any of these centers, I mean, you talk about him, you know, you talk about Tippmann, you talk about my guy here, Ricky Stromberg, who I think you can get in the fifth, Cam. I think you can get in the fifth. Ricky Stromberg is a day one starting caliber center. Okay. Mm-hmm. He has a mean streak. You just absolutely love to see with the offensive line. You know, he's got a great anchor in pass protection, a true people mover, if you will, you know, as a run blocker. He explodes out of his stance. I think when you watch this guy, you know, he's probably the most athletic center in this draft, I would say. You know, he works well in pulling opportunities as a puller. You know, I believe he has the versatility and just the skill set and build to play guard if need be. So that's a plus. He's strong enough for the NFL game. I don't worry about the guy's balance at all, you know, and I think when it comes to Ricky Stromberg, his ceiling is a top eight center in the league in the right system.
I like it. And you mentioned he's probably the most athletic. So, hey, we need athletic guys that can move and make sure that we stop some of these defenders that are coming to, you know, hey, make Matthew Stafford have a bad day. Yeah. We don't want any bad days for Matthew Stafford. That wouldn't be the move. And just talking about the gentleman that you just mentioned, you know, one thing I do see here is, you know, he's able to pick up blitzes really well, right? Twists and different stunts. That's important. You just mentioned that when it comes to a team like the Vikings, they're going to be sending different folks and they're going to have ends coming in and wrapping around the other side of the field and doing different things. So we need centers who can pick that stuff up when it comes to nose tackles, wrapping and picking against, you know, with linebackers and different stuff like that. So we need somebody who can sort through all those things and make sure, like I said again, Matthew Stafford is safe and protected. So in saying that, let's go to the defensive side of the ball, Jake. We need some guys that can actually get Matthew Stafford the football back and cause some havoc. So for my inside defensive lineman group, I got a guy out of Archer High School in Georgia. Jake, as I'm looking at our prospects here, there's a lot of guys from Georgia, especially Gwinnett County, where I grew up from. This guy came out of Archer High School, 6'4", 273, and ran a 4.79. I got Kobe Wooden. I mean, the guy, he causes problems. I mean, he can not only play on the inside, but I feel like he can stand up and play on the outside as well. You know, with the Rams, when it comes to Aaron Donald, how he likes to line up on the inside, and sometimes you'll catch him on the outside as well. And I do think Kobe can do some of those same things. He's aggressive in his play. He, like I said, he's a beast as well. And, you know, one thing I do know you'll see on his tape is when you watch him, he uses his hands really well. One of the moves he uses is that double chop where, you know, offensive linemen will stick their hands out and he'll drum that drum a little bit and then bam, hit him with the chop and find his way to the quarterback. So his success at Auburn, I got actually a couple of Auburn guys on my list here, but Kobe Wooden, I like him a lot. He ran a 4.7 as a defensive lineman. Aaron Donald, I think, ran like a 4.6 or 4.5. So you got some speed on that defensive front. And we need guys, like I said, who can cause havoc. He can line up on the edge, like I said, and cause havoc on the outside as well. So, you know, whenever you can pick up a guy and move them and have them utilize and bring value to our team in many ways, sign them up. Any thoughts on your end, Jake?
I like him. I think this draft's weird, Cam. We have a lot of these tweener, and being a tweener isn't a bad thing, but like interior defensive line edge guys. Like, yeah. I look at Wooden. I look at, you know, Ade Adebawor, I look at Keon White, you know, guys that we've already talked about before. Like, I think that this draft has a lot of those guys where it's like, where do you put Colby? I don't know. I mean, I have him as an interior defensive lineman, so I'm glad you had that. I think he goes in between the third and the fifth round. It really depends. Again, I cannot get any sort of idea of where these teams are going to value these players, but I agree with you. He's a dog, you know, like, so yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong. You know, drafting an SEC guy like that. My guy is a little bit out there, right? Not SEC, not Big 12, not Pac-12. His name is Deswan Johnson. Okay, he's out of Toledo, and this is somebody the Rams actually met with. Okay, so I'm very excited about this because, you know, I think the big reason no one is talking about him right now is because of the fact that he played at Toledo and he's undersized. Okay, so that's the first thing. He's explosive. He rips through the gap, can smother the run, rush the passer, lightning quick first step. You know, great overall movement skills. You know, even getting to the sideline laterally, you love to see that. Can contort his body, get skinny, carve through space on the offensive line. He doesn't have the bulk, and I get that. Like, okay, he doesn't have the bulk, and you know, it's not for the like for the position. You want him to be more, you know, filled out. But I think the biggest issue is not just having the bulk, but I think scouts wonder how much weight he can put on, where, you know, before you start losing, you know, that speed and the quickness. But he's got the shorter arms. Again, it'll make his life hard, but it's not like he hasn't been playing with that as it is. Deswan Johnson is a sleeper. Deswan Johnson might go, I've seen everywhere from fourth to undrafted. If he goes undrafted, the Rams better fall on him like a dog pile, because this guy, having Aaron Donald, who's been there, done that at that size, to be able to teach him. Aaron Donald hasn't had anybody like that. Notice everybody that the Rams have brought in since Aaron Donald. Big Michael Brockers you have in there. Not saying they brought him in, but you know, you have big Michael Brockers. You have Kendall Langford, right? You got these big guys. Then you bring in Bobby Brown III, another big guy. Greg Gaines, gargantuan. Not seeing any of these 6 foot guys anymore, right? That's just Donald. Mm-hmm. So I think if they bring in a guy like Deswan Johnson, I think there's a, you know, a teacher student thing there.
Yeah, I mean, anybody we talk about from now on this defensive line, is they're going to have to fall under that teacher student path, because Aaron, we talk about it, is the best player walking right now in the NFL, full stop. So they're going to have to learn. I mean, and you just mentioned too, for Johnson, he's 6'2". Aaron is 6 feet tall. Like, talk about short, you know, talk about being short and not able to make it happen. After seeing Aaron Donald play, I don't even count that anymore. I know Aaron Donald has extremely long arms, right? So that makes that helps him out a lot. But you know, when you can play defensive tackle, you can ball. We talk about his lightning quick ability to get off the ball, and Aaron Donald does that as well. You know, in practice sometimes, you know, offensive linemen don't even block Aaron. That's how fast he gets off the ball, and they kind of just act like he wasn't there, block air, and then works to the linebacker. So, you know, anytime someone has a quick get off, you know, I'm sure Aaron's gonna love it. And then after that, you can teach hand movement and fighting within the line of scrimmage. But I love that for him. And like you said, if he goes undrafted, that's somebody that the Rams should make sure that, hey, we're beating down his door to make sure he's on this team, and Aaron can teach him up really well. So someone else that Aaron can teach, and also that is someone that I believe Aaron can learn from as well. We talked about it on our edge episode here with Believe in Rams, but Isaiah McGuire coming out of Missouri.
Love it.
Love it. 6'4", 275, captain. You know, we talk about Captain Cam. And, you know, the joke with that is, you know, Cam's always picking these captains. He always wants the captains to be his player and on the Rams or whoever. And I just think it's a big character move. You know, it's a big character move. And, you know, you can't teach that. You can't teach someone that, you know, is a captain or a leader, you know, throughout their whole life. Like, hey, you got to be a better this, a better that. You know, he just has it in him. He has it in him. And so I like a guy like Isaiah. He can play multiple positions. He can play on the inside. He can play on the outside. And like I said before, you know, Aaron's going to want to play on the outside. So if he has to play on the inside and actually anchor down, I think he can get that done. You know, I love his tape. And whenever you whatever you put on his tape, you think immediate pro. Like, oh, sign him up. You know, the way he shocks and sheds, the way he uses his hands. And like I said, he could be someone who could teach Aaron some things. I mean, he's 6'4", 275, a little bit bigger. So he has to use his body in a little bit of a different way. But I think he's going to be able to use that toolkit and stack up when it comes to the NFL. And Aaron's going to only sharpen his toolkit when he gets there. So I like Isaiah McGuire as my edge guy. He's always been my number one. So
he's my number two, man. Like, and look, like I have my guy, Will McDonald, who we've already, I mean, I'm not going to beat it down any further. I'll get to it in a sec and not a ton. But the point is, like, I have him as the second. I think Elijah I have is like edge number eight. But as far as guys, that's how he grades out, right? As far as guys that I love, I think it literally goes McDonald and Isaiah McGuire. Like, I like Isaiah McGuire more than I like Felix Anudike Uzama. I deserve a cookie for saying that correctly. I got that on, you know. But anyway, my point is that I really like Isaiah McGuire, and just because he doesn't grade out as my number three or number two guy, whatever, does not mean I don't love him. So I think, you know, with you, like, you know, he's your guy. He's my second guy. So I think, you know, great minds think alike. Because if I'm not mistaken, I think, you know, Will McDonald's up there for you as well.
Yeah, he is. No, he's actually my number one, but you put him as your number one. So he'll be my number two. So, you know, we want him on the Rams team.
We're literally on the same page then. We have the number one, number two, our guys. Yeah. True stand-up pass rusher in a 3-4, was played out of position. I don't have to get too much into it, but, you know, he was in the 4 and 5 tech. And, I mean, Cam explained this in detail on our Edge show. You just don't put a guy like that there. It is incredibly difficult. It's like being on it's like, you know, what did we say? It's like squatting and having somebody push you while you're I mean, that's ridiculous. Yeah. So, you know, again, 3-4 pass rusher, probably would have gone top 10 if he had wide 9 reps throughout his whole career. He didn't. You know, he started playing football late in high school, you know, and even had a position, you know, change. He's toolsy, high motor. I think he's one of the best pass rushers in this class and one of the best to come out in the last 3 years.
Big Will McDonald. I agree. I mean, his pass rush ability is insane. He's very bendy. I think the last that we talked about on our Edge podcast, that Robert Quinn bend, you know what I mean? Where he's able to, there you go, get a little flow, get around the corner. And Will brings that. Like, when we talk about him learning from Aaron Donald, he's only going to get better, and he's going to be able to teach Aaron some things as well. As the game is evolving, the game is getting a little bit faster. So,
Cam, if he gets drafted by the Rams, hashtag Gumby season. That's there the hashtag.
You heard it here first.
I mean, you said it, because that's what you used to call Robert Quinn. Gumby season is back.
Let's go. Gumby season, that means when Gumby season, people don't know what that means. That means more sacks, right? Because you can bend around the tackle and get the football from the quarterback. So Gumby season is on the way. Okay, so Jake, we're on the back end here. We're getting to some of my favorite parts, you know, when it comes to
your
defense,
position, man.
My position, the linebacker position, cornerback position, the safety position. But stopping at the linebacker position, someone that I saw was a two-time captain, which I really liked, undersized guy, 6 feet tall, 224. I was like, ah, this sounds like my information here or my stats when I was coming out to go to the NFL. But coming from Grayson High School, Gwinnett, Brookwood, in Gwinnett County, that's down the street from me. Grayson was our rival. Brookwood versus Grayson, we used to rival. So there's about 4 to 5 guys from Gwinnett County that area that I've listed out at this point. But I want to put Papo from Auburn.
Oh, he's good.
Ran a 4.39. Like, if you got a linebacker that runs a 4.39, I think Devin White might have ran a 4.3 or a 4.4, but 4.39, you're moving. You like a guy like that. He can, of course, play defense, can also play special teams and cause some havoc. One thing about Owen Papo, if you cut on his tape, he's inflicting pain on people, Jake, especially quarterbacks. When the quarterbacks want to run out of that pocket, they don't see anybody open, they want to scramble. Papo is going to lay that wood down on these quarterbacks. I mean, he's forced a couple fumbles against quarterbacks when they're running around like, oh, they won't hit me that hard. I'm going to be protected. I'm going to just get down here. Papo is coming to lay the wood. And so I would love to see a hard-hitting linebacker inflicting pain on quarterbacks like that. I would want to see it. I mean, he runs a 4.39, so quarterbacks have to get down a lot quicker when they're playing against guys like this. One thing I do see is, you know, he keeps his body square to the line of scrimmage. They always tell linebackers, keep your body square to the line of scrimmage, because you just never know what's going to happen, and you want to have great positioning. So he does a great job of that. When it comes to his pass coverage, he does a great job of that as well. A little bit stiff in the hips. You know, we want a linebacker that can look like a defensive back as well. And so with that speed, it's great for blitzing. It's great for causing disruption. So I want to see him get a little bit better in his pass pro. But he has a couple of interceptions on the season against some top-tier receivers, top-tier tight ends. So Papo is my guy. Jake, undersized, but full speed and crushing. I hope he finds his way on the Rams roster there.
So it's funny, Cam, because while you were saying that, I had to look this up. I did a Rams and a Jets way too early mock draft back in June of last year. I had Papo going 69th to the Jets because I thought the Rams were going to win the Super Bowl. So I was like, there's no way they're going to pick 69. Papo is somebody, you know, you really like what you see out of him. Athletic freak. You know, I thought he made a lot of sense with, you know, for the Jets with Quincy Williams on expiring deal. But, you know, really the point is that I kind of coming into this year, I expected him to be a first, second, third round guy. So I like that. I mean, that guy, when I see Papo, I go, Papo. But no, he's a good player. I really enjoy watching his tape. Another guy who's a really good player whose tape I really enjoy watching. And I guess, you know, we were just talking about tweeners, right? When it comes to Wooden. Well, you guys need to get familiar with Yasir Abdullah out of Louisville, because this guy is a tweener, inside backer, edge, who, you know, I think is being penalized because people don't know how the hell to use him. You know, and I'm not talking about Louisville. They knew how to use him. Use him, everything he's good at, let him be good at, right? But I think, you know, the average scout, fan, etc., we can't just have a player be a like, we need to put them in a pre-existing pod. And that's my issue with Yasir Abdullah, because I don't think you do that. You know, he can cover like a DB, and he can cover wide receivers, tight ends, and running backs. That's not a normal linebacker. Cam, I know you can attest to that. Like, the fact this guy would be able to run stride for stride with, say, like Justin Jefferson, that's not normal. So that's not a bad thing. We shouldn't be penalizing him for that. He can rush the passer off the edge, and he's got a pass rush toolbox. I mean, this guy's built as an off-ball linebacker, and the guy has a full set of moves off the edge. You know, he could play the run well. He's a really good, you know, just mover, right? Just a fluid mover as an athlete. Can flip his hips, turn up field, has the recovery speed. If he gets burned, well, didn't get burned, right? He's undersized, they say, not like I care. He's got more strength than one would expect at that size. And, you know, overall, I think Yasir Abdullah is a chess piece for any defense. And if you're smart, you draft him. And if you're dumb, you don't draft him.
Yeah, no, you mentioned a chess piece. He seems like a Swiss Army knife, right? Someone who can go rush the passer, someone who can stop the run as an off linebacker, and then also cover receivers and tight ends. Like, what else can you ask for in a linebacker, Jake? It sounds like my man has it all. And so you said, remember his name, that someone definitely that we should have an eye out for is like a guy like Yasir. Ran a 4.47. You know, 36-inch vert. So that's a win-win right there. And you know, when it comes to his coverage ability, I think this is the passing league. So if you have a guy that can actually cover people, you know, that reminds me of a Corey Littleton. Corey Littleton, you know, he was able to cover folks.
I love that guy.
I mean, Corey's the man. I played with Corey. You know, Corey was a little bit lighter, like a Mark Barron, you know, more like a 215, 210. Yasir is a little bit heavier, 237. So he's able to get up on the line of scrimmage, which is nice. But the fact that he can go back and cover, Jake, that's so invaluable. A linebacker that can stop the run, that can blitz, and that can actually cover. Like covering, you know, slot receivers, covering tight ends like Travis Kelce. Like, you're going to need someone that can cover them so you can free your safety up for more dangerous work, essentially. So having a guy like that, you know, you have your safety, you have your blitzer, you have your linebacker. It's everything you can ask for. So Yasir, sign him up, Jake.
You know, and look, he's not like Micah Parsons. I don't want to say that because, you know, people hear, oh, we can rush the passer. Oh, he's an off ball guy. He's Micah Parsons. No. I think get your mind in the idea he's more like Akeem Davis Gaither on the Bengals. When he came out of App State, you got that just total package. He's not elite, but he's really good. And I think, unfortunately, because teams don't know what the hell they're doing half the time when they draft these guys, they just kind of throw, oh, we have this plan for you, and it's just an awful plan. You know, I think he's going to get penalized in the draft cam. I think he might fall to the fifth round just because no one has any idea how to use him. But if he does, and the Rams had 3 fifth-round picks, and they passed him 3 straight times, I'd have an issue with that.
Yeah, same here. But, you know, hey, we have an issue with a lot of things that the Rams do, but it's okay. Hopefully, on the back end of this draft, they'd be like, hey, I told you to trust me. That's what I'm hoping for. The Rams like, hey, I told you to trust me on this. So
hopefully we'll get that moment. Who do you got for corner?
Yeah, so Jake, I know for time here, I'm gonna bunch mine up between corner and safety. I think, you know, they're both defensive backs. So I want to go with this. Of course, corner. Going with another Q's guy, Jake. So I think I have 3 Q's guys so far, and I have to because we don't get enough love. But I'm going to go with
Garrett
Williams.
They're your guys, to be fair.
There are guys, and I played at the Rams, so Maybe my guys can come to the Rams. So Garrett Williams, we'll love to see him in a Rams jersey. You know, it's great. Like a Q's guy, no penalties last year and the year before that, Jake. I talked about it on the off the edge show, but – you know, someone like Garrett Williams, who has no penalties on the season, I think that's insane. He has 10 pass breakups, leading the ACC. So he plays smart, right? He's able to be disruptive and cause some havoc. And so you can win games like that, Jake. I think we talked about it before, but flags can lose you games and they lose you championships. When you get penalties, they can cost you a lot. After every game, what our coaches do, they line us all up the defense and say, hey, guys, great game yesterday, or you guys lost yesterday, whatever. But our team had this amount of penalties, right? You talk to the whole team. Our team had this amount of penalties. We have to work on this week in practice and making sure we're disciplined and blah, blah, blah. And so penalties, coaches hate that. That's the biggest pet peeve for coaches, are penalties. So the fact that Garrett Williams has none for the past 2 years playing in the ACC, I went on my team. And then going to our safety position, I like a guy out of Pittsburgh, right? A little Syracuse, you know, Pitt love here or hate, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, Pittsburgh bring a safety from Pittsburgh to the Rams. You know, Aaron's going to be happy. Why not make Aaron happy? This guy, when I turn on his plate, his tape, Jake, the first thing I said was, woo! I mean, he tried to dislodge players from the football, just the way he's hitting, right? Hit stick ability. Brandon Hill, you know, coming out of Pitt, I like him a lot. Sometimes he can get in trouble with shooting like a missile, right? Might miss tackles. But one thing that Greg Williams, the mad scientist, always told us is take your shot, right? Because whenever you take your shot, you stop the feet of the ball carrier, and that allows the other person, whoever else is coming, to gain ground. And so when you have guys taking shots, I like it, right? And take a shot, a calculated shot, right? Just make sure that, for an example, if you're the only person on the edge, take an outside shot. Don't take an inside shot because no one else would be out there. And so guys that can do that, I want them on my team. Brandon Hill running a 4.43, 5'10", 193 pounds out of Pittsburgh, and has a mean streak. He's looking to cause damage, Jake, and you want that out of your safeties. You want to go, woo, right, whenever a receiver's running across that middle and just gets laid out. So I like that for my team. Garrett Williams at cornerback, not having any penalties, and Brandon Hill, who might have some, but he's hitting hard late in the wood, so I like it there.
It balances it out.
Balance.
I mean, if I get a penalty because the league is getting more, it is tougher on the hard hits. I mean, come on, we've seen textbook. I'll never forget the one Michael Brocker's textbook sack, and he got a rough in the passer. I mean, you know, there's nothing you could do. Well, you're gonna stop playing football? Like, come on,
right?
Form tackles aren't form tackles. Oh, that's too. All right, let's just wear flags then. Anyway,
that's what football's headed.
Yeah, cornerback. This guy needs to, I mean, he'll probably go in the first round now I'm talking about this, but he he needs to be a household name, and I think he's going to have a meteoric impact and rise. And I believe he is going to be very similar to rookie year Patrick Peterson. And that, my friend, is Emmanuel Forbes out of Mississippi State. He's one of the true all-around corners in the league in this draft. You talk about, like, ball hawks here and, you know, run supportive corners here, hard-hitting corner. No. This guy does everything. He doesn't make franchise decisions, business decisions, right? He's not sidestepping a tackle. He's going to make that tackle. So, you know, he could play in zone. He could play in man. He could be lined up all over the place because of his versatility. He's got elite top speed. He ran a 4.3. His change of direction is absolutely insane. And if you want teach tape, go and watch him against the guy who actually we just talked about off the edge is now suspended for the first six games of the season, Jameson Williams. He absolutely shut down Jameson Williams. That was impressive tape. Fluid hips. He can flip. He can turn. He can explode when needed. He's very intelligent, Cam. That's a big thing. Ridiculous instincts. His ball production. 14 interceptions. He has the most all-time in FBS history pick sixes, okay?
We need that.
Ideally, he's a boundary corner. He's going to take on the other team's best receiver. His frame is more skinny. He's got like a toothpick type of frame, and that's what's causing him to drop. But if people didn't care about his frame, he'd go top 10.
Sauce Gardner looks like a toothpick too, and he's rookie of the year. Like, come on.
I mean, come on now. So, you know, he will need to be a little more disciplined. He does take risks, that's for sure. I mean, you can't have 14 interceptions and lead the FBS all time in pick sixes and not take risks. But he's a day one starter with game-breaking ability, and if it translates, Cam, no doubt about it, he's going to become a genuine superstar.
Sign him up. Let's go. Rams. Come on. You gave away Jalen Ramsey. Let's bring him on.
So my next guy here to wrap this up is Sidney Brown out of Illinois. And that, if that shocks you, you know, hey, Brown, Illinois, that sounds familiar. Well, it should. He's an identical twin of running back Chase Brown, also from Illinois. Really cool story there. You know, he's filled out physique. He doesn't have great height. He's 5'9". Do I give a crap? No. I believe you might have. I think you did play with LaMarcus Joyner. So, I mean, you know, height doesn't matter. I mean, that guy was a freaking bulldog in a small little 5'8 frame. Great acceleration. Long speed is among the top of the class. He's one of the best. I think he's the best athlete at the position that I've watched so far for safeties. 5-year starter at Illinois. Some people might be shying away from that. I like that personally. He played strong safety. He was a true box safety. I think he's got the instincts, Cam, and ball skills that we saw this past year. Didn't quite ever have the interceptions, and this year it just clicked, and he had 6. I think he has the ball skills to play either safety spot and be interchangeable, kind of like what happened with Nick Scott in his meteoric rise as the Rams starting safety. I expect when it's all said and done, Sidney Brown is going to be one of the 3 best safeties to come out of this class.
Mic drop. There you go. I mean, he was All-American on second team All-American. Like, come on, man. This guy, even though he played at Illinois, it's not, you know, the SEC, but he's been recognized. He can make plays, high football IQ. So mic drop, like you said, let's bring him on the Rams. We need everything we can get right now. We need leaders, strictly leaders, to come on and make plays. So Jake, you know, I know we have other content to share. I know we're going to be talking on actual draft day, and I know I want to talk about the draft stories as well, also the undrafted story. So do we want to save that for our next show, or do we kind of want to squeeze this in now? What are you thinking?
I think we can squeeze it in now because, I think we could bang this out. So the guy that reached out to you, what was this?
Don Var.
Shout out to him.
Shout out to Don Var,
So he had asked if we could do a – kind of a pros and cons of being a UDFA and what can being a UDFA contribute to the Rams this season segment. So you've created this segment. This was not a segment that wouldn't have happened without you. So in honor of that, we're going to give it our all here. Why Cameron Lynch's future with the Rams is bright. What is that? Why did I just say that? Because that's a weird thing to say, Cam, if there's no context, right? June 22nd, 2016, at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time, 9:30 Eastern time. That makes sense. Jake Ellenbogen dropped an article back when Jake Ellenbogen wrote on the ramswire.usa.com about Cameron Lynch. Yeah, we're doing that right now. So I was really excited about this guy out of Syracuse. Okay. This guy right here, actually. And so I'm not going to read the whole article, but basically I was really excited because I thought, you know, coming into this year, he was going to get a huge opportunity. And I still say, you don't have to say anything. You did not get the opportunity to thrive on the Rams. I know you have love for them and I appreciate you, but you were underutilized on the Rams. All right. I had to say that. I got you. So 22-year-old linebacker, this is an excerpt. The 22-year-old linebacker is entering his second season. Thankfully, he isn't looking to fight for just a roster spot this year. Instead, he's looking to carve out a bigger role for himself. Lynch possesses some crazy athleticism, so much that in 2014, he was named on a list of the most freakish athletes in college football by NFL.com. And then ready for the real shocker here. He was listed four spots ahead of Rams star running back Todd Gurley. What makes Lynch such an athletic freak? Well, for starters, he benched 29 reps at his pro day. He recorded a 35-inch vertical. He ran a 4.7 40-yard dash, and he could squat 620 pounds. I don't know if you could still do that, but that was freaking crazy. my man's like, no. Lynch is a scary athlete. All right. Mic drop. There you go. Now it's up to you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I appreciate that, Jake, to see that article, to hear it right now, especially during the draft as it's coming up. It means a lot. And then shout out to Donvar for bringing that up. You know, just sharing my story, my journey throughout the process was a lot, right? Like you mentioned, the freakish athlete. You know, I worked hard, clearly, right? I trained hard. You know, unfortunately, right now, I can't lift the weights that I used to lift, Jake. I'm about to be 30 pretty soon. So when I was 22 or even 18, 19, that was the peak of my physical career. I have a torn pec now, Jake, from bench pressing. So yeah. It's tough. But, you know, back then, though, I took my work seriously, right, when it came to training, recovering. I recovered really well. And so I realized as an undrafted free agent that I would have to be available. Right. So before and after every practice or every workout, I would put 20 minutes to 10 minutes of stretching in. Right. Just to make sure that I was healthy, hot tub and cold tub, you know, after every practice. And so Donvar asked, like, hey, what was the experience like? Some of the pluses and some of the minuses of being an undrafted free agent. Well, some of the pluses, number one, is during the draft for all the undrafted free agents that are out there. I think I talked about this before, but having an Excel document of what team has how many linebackers. You want to go where you can actually play, right? You want to go somewhere where they're stacked in linebackers. So I found out where the linebackers, you know, where lower that number was. So about 4 to 5 linebackers. And then at the end of the draft, you get to pick where you want to go. And so that's the plus about being an undrafted free agent. Everything else is downhill from there. I mean, it's like walking onto a football team. Everything else is downhill, Jake, right? Because every year you're fighting for a position, and this is the God honest truth. You know, you're fighting for a position every day. Number two is like, you don't know if you're going to go back home to the same place that you woke up from the next day, right? And so every day in my mind, I would say, hey, like, I have to go either in practice, force a fumble, deflect a pass, or do something that's related to the football to stay on this team. I have to make sure my production points are high. And the quickest way to get production points is by disrupting the football on defense. So make sure that. And then number three, playing special teams. Jake, no one wants to play special teams in the NFL, right? We went through this whole list of guys that are getting drafted first to seventh round. None of those guys want to play special teams. I mean, it's kind of like, for example, a car crash on every play. I mean, it's high impact. You're banging into somebody at full speed. You're running down the field and it's a lot. So no one wants to do it. But what I made sure was is that I was the best at it, right? And so that's how I made a career for myself and a living was on special teams. And I didn't really realize that, Jake, until I got to college where Doug Marrone, who, you know, went to the Bills and had some success there now at Alabama. He's like, hey, like, you know, you're an undersized guy. You know, we got some dogs in front of you. You're going to have to play special teams to get on this football field. Then you can get on the blitz package and then you work your way up. But for me, I realized early through college that I had to take special teams serious to get on the field. And then that was the way I would stay in the NFL. So the journey as an undrafted free agent is not fun. But one thing I will say is staying ready for the moment is extremely important. The moment I realized that I knew I was fit to play in the NFL was a preseason game against the Raiders where Darren Bates, who was also an undrafted free agent, he was going against one of the offensive linemen from the Raiders who happened to be the biggest guys that I play against. They're guys about 350, you know, 6'5". And one of these guys laid and fell on his leg. And so as an undrafted guy, you know, thank God Darren was able to get healthy. He was able to play his, you know, a long career and be successful. But one thing as an undrafted guy, you have is the next man mentality. That has to be premium, right? And so I've always kept that in mind. I've always stayed ready. I've always stayed focused during games. And so as soon as Darren Bates went down, my helmet was strapped. It was buckled. And I was on that football field. And one thing that one of my coaches said, he was like, "Where's Cameron?" He was looking for me. "Where's Cameron?" He was screaming, "Cameron, where is he at?" And then the players on the field like, "Hey, coach, he's right out there. He's right there on the field." I was right there on the field, right by the numbers, ready to go. Of course, making sure Darren was okay because he's my guy, but also ready to play in that football game. And, you know, when it comes to moments like that, that's when I knew I was ready for the game of football, when I was on that field ready to go. And guys are going to have to get ready to do that. If you're drafted, you don't have to get out there that fast. So you kind of waltz on over because guys are thinking about you. But when you're not really thought about like that, you have to make sure you're seen. And so that's just another thing that you have to go through as an undrafted guy. So it's not pretty. It's like being a walk-on. And when you do make it and when you're able to move forward, it's a great accomplishment. So I'm grateful for my experience in the NFL, grateful for being an undrafted free agent. But, man, was it hell. It was hell, Jake.
I mean, it's funny because you brought up Darren Bates before I could. I was going to hit you with that. First off, we got to go back to the beginning of all this. This is surreal. I don't think people realize. I mean, we connected in 2016, I want to say, after that article came out. And I tried to get you on, but Rams PR, because you told me, you're like, "I would love to come on, but you got to go through Rams PR." And Rams PR went, like, you know. Oh, so yeah, we never connected. But then, you know, now we're doing this. Now we're doing Off the Edge. So it's pretty incredible when you think about it. Pretty remarkable, surreal moment here to kind of have it all come full circle, to read my article that I remember to this day, writing on, like, hunched over on my broken futon on this laptop that I told you about before we went live, just completely died. The hard drive's just dead. I lost so much. But no, it's awesome. And your story is incredible. And, you know, there were so many guys that, you know, like you're saying, I mean, Bates is somebody, you know, maybe not every Rams fan knew of, but that was one of my guys. You were one of my guys. Ronnie McLeod was one of my guys. You know, I feel like those guys that just don't get enough respect, like Nick Scott would have been that if he never became like a starting defensive player. And I feel like it's one of the most thankless jobs. But if you have a bad special teams, that's the first, "Oh, well, these guys are trash and these guys are this and these guys are that." But when you guys are killing it.
Yeah, no one knows. Yeah.
You know, yeah. So, I mean, oh, sorry, I had to unzip. There we go. but I mean, for real, though, it's the most thankless position to be on special teams. Like you said, it's like watching a bunch of car crashes at the same time. And you have these guys that can kind of waltz over. "Okay, I was a first round pick. I don't have as much looking over my shoulder." But yeah, I mean, the only thing I could even compare to that kind of feeling is that you're kind of looking over your shoulder every day. I worked at a job that I won't name names, but they used to fire people like crazy. And the culture was just like, they thought the culture was great. But you know, now that I don't work there anymore and they don't hold anything against me, I don't care. I'll just say it. It wasn't great. Okay. It was fake. A lot of people were scared and were walking on eggshells. And I felt like every day that I could get fired. And, yeah, you know, it's not. And so, you know, that's what you were going through essentially, right? You were always wondering, like, "Okay, is this my last day? Oh crap, I messed up on the in practice." I mean, that's the problem, is that practice in the NFL isn't just to make you better. It's like, bro, you better show up. You better show up
every day. You know? It's a game. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not just, I mean, it's a lot for you, because it's not just staying out of the cold tub. it's not just, you know, staying available. It's not just learning the playbook. It's not just getting along with your teammates and your, cause I mean, we've seen that, you know, that the IK, I forget his last name on the Jets. What is he punched Geno Smith and got Geno, kicked off. Right. Yeah. I mean, like, you can't get into anything. You'll get cut. But if a first rounder does it, he's good. So it's not easy, man. It's not easy. You deserve way more credit than you get. And you know, I think that the fan base always appreciated you. It's not to say that it didn't. I just keep pushing you more and more because I don't feel like people realize like just the level of like excellence you have to have to even play in the NFL, let alone play on special teams, which, like you say, is just constant. It's volunteering to crash your car into another car repeatedly.
Yeah.
But the problem is your car is your body.
Exactly. It's brutal, Jake. And so, no, I appreciate the platform and the time to chat about the experience, and excited for these young cats, you know, that are coming up in the draft and just WNBA draft, any draft you can think of, you know, anyone who's stepping into that space. Hey, get your affairs in order, you know, prepare for that next step, because you can be playing in the NFL or WNBA, NBA, MLB, but the next day you could be working a different job and doing something else. So make sure your affairs in order, make sure that there's more to life than the sport that you're playing, because you never know, my man, you never know.
No, you really don't. But man, this has been a pretty deep show. It went from like, to, all right, get your affairs in order. Like, all right. you didn't mean those affairs. Okay.
Yeah, not the DeMar Hamlin affairs. Context for people, you know, not those affairs, but things other than playing sports affairs.
No, absolutely. I totally hear you there. Well, hey, look, this has been a lot of fun. It's funny, before we started this, we're like, there's no way this will hit an hour and 30. It's literally an hour and 30 now. So this is officially our longest show. So hopefully you're smashing that like button. You're following my guy, Cameron Lynch, on YouTube. You're following him on, subscribing to him on YouTube. You're following him on Twitter at Cameron Lynch 50. You can follow me at JK Bogan if you'd like to. And that's going to do it. Thanks again to betonline.ag. And until next time, this has been the 160th episode already, Cam, of Believe in Rams. Later, folks.